Hey everybody, I want to welcome you whether you're here watching live or you're watching this at some point in the future. What's today? Today is January 17th of 2022. I like to say we do a Monday morning team meeting with my entire team. And every morning I start off the meeting. It's at 8 a.m. on Monday morning and I start off with the same line every Monday. I say it's almost Friday. So obviously today is not almost Friday, it's Monday, but that's the optimism and outlook I like to have. So today I started the meeting a little bit different. I said, it's almost Friday and it's almost 2023. Obviously I was joking, but seriously, the year is flying. We're more than halfway through January already in 2022, but off camera, Rich and I were just chatting a little bit about, you know, COVID challenges and things that are happening. It's obviously changing quickly. So the first thing I want to say, depending on when you're watching this, hopefully you're watching this 5 years from now, COVID is a thing of the past. It doesn't exist anymore. You don't even know what COVID is, right? Maybe you're watching this. Maybe this is a time capsule 50 years from now. You're like, COVID, come on, who cares? But right now, it's very real again. My family has had some situations with it. Rich has kind of gone through it a little bit. He obviously operates a hotel. But I hope that everyone out there watching this is safe and healthy and had an amazing year. So quickly, again, my name is Ryan Gronfen. I'm with The Restaurant Boss. This is something we call Out of the Weeds. We like to invite guests like Rich here, who I've known for a little while, on to share kind of, in their words, their stories about some success that they're experiencing and something they can share with you. I'm not even going to bother introducing you, Rich. I'll let you do it because you'll do a better job. But go ahead and say hello. And then I got a couple questions for you and we'll rock and roll here.
Yeah, great. My name's Rich Harris. I'm from the original Roslyn Inn. And as you'll hear by my accent, it's from Scotland. So we are just south of Edinburgh, the capital of Scotland, in a village called Roslyn. You may know it from the Da Vinci Code, the chapel at the end, famous chapel. We're right close to that. So fantastic place of in the world. So do come and visit us at some time. We'd love to see you.
And my understanding is very close to some very famous golf courses.
Correct, yes.
So if you're a golfer and you're looking to stay at a small, like family-run, awesome Scottish property, I can't wait. I have not been over the pond ever. And when I do get over the pond, Rich is the first guy I'm going to see, the first place we're staying, and we're going to go play some golf. So please check him out. But anyways, we're here today to talk about checklists. And checklists are always a big topic of conversation. Quite a heated argument sometimes of, you know, Ryan, checklists don't work. Ryan, we've tried checklists. Ryan, everything you're saying sounds so perfect, but it doesn't work for us. And I would disagree with that because that's what I teach and it does work, but I don't want you to hear it from me. I want you to hear it from Rich. So a couple of years ago, Rich and I did a phone call together. He reached out to me and then we followed up about a year later with a couple other phone calls. And then recently we've had a chance to reconnect and the things that I've been hearing from him have just been unbelievable that I wanted him to share with you. So maybe Rich, take a couple minutes here and kind of share it with us. What got you to reach out to me in the first place and kind of where you were at then and what the journey's been like and just take it away.
So the property we're in, we're sort of third generation. We've been there 49 years. And I had a desire to grow, to develop the business. And just because our longevity, you know, you don't want to become stagnant. And I saw a lot of your content online, Ryan. I'm actually managed to seek you out and I absorbed a lot of the videos on YouTube and it really helped a lot. And the value that was added from seeing that really made me become a bit of an avid follower and really watching all your stuff. So it's been great. I've seen how a lot of your products have changed and developed over the time and I've managed to benefit from that and learn with them. So it's a great opportunity to do that. When we spoke, I was in a bit of a funk about, I knew where I wanted to be. I wanted to be a place where we were more accountable for our actions. The business ran smoother. It didn't demand so much time and the business then wasn't me, but it was the property and the property ran without individuals in particular. So I had spoke to that and you introduced me to checklists. And I'll be honest, at the beginning, I had a lot of questions, but what about when they do this? How do they? And I think that's pretty, you know, human nature is you go to the extremity and find lots of problems of the pitfalls of where it'll let you down rather than 90%, 99% of the time, the day-to-day run, how much makes it much smoother. So I created the checklists for each position in the business. And the staff no doubt were skeptical at the beginning. They thought this is another way, he's gonna be tracking us here. This is this is a trap. He's laying a trap here. And I was like, look, listen, I'm not, this is just a tool for you to help so that, you know, you can use it, and they're your sheets. So if I've missed something, I've just done this off the top of my head, I want you to do it. I don't want to tell you where I've made mistakes. Tell me what I've missed out. And the staff slowly but surely, and I think it became apparent that I never followed them up in respects to a disciplinary procedure or checked them out, and I built them the confidence with it. And I really let them take ownership of them. And as the business developed, they would come to me with a problem. And I would say, is it on your checklist? And say, no, so we'll put it on your checklist. And they then became, the checklists of now are unrecognizable from when I started, because they use them. And I think it gives them peace of mind. I think that's the main thing, and how they've told me about it, is that they can walk off shift and feel, well, I know I've done everything on my duties. I know that I'm not going to get a phone call and say, why have you not done this? Or, you know, the next person saying, you never left this. If they've done everything on the checklist, they've completed their task. And it gives that good bit of teamwork and communication without, you know, having to have, you know, on your day off phone, they say, where did you leave this? Or has that been done? The checklist just keep that sort of momentum up. And it's been really, really helpful. And like I said, the staff are the first people to contact me and say, you know, the checklists are out, because it's their safety net. Because they know if they do that, they're doing a good job. So, it's been a massive success for us.
Sorry, I like to throw these random things down at the bottom that might have thrown you off a bit. if I hear anything interesting. So, it's always so interesting to me to hear other people kind of saying the same words that I've been teaching for a while back. And this is something I know Rich and I talked about a lot, and I want to get this across right now. The checklists are a tool to help you, or to help them, I should say, the team. This is not, he said it right there. They were skeptical. It's a trap. It's going to be used for discipline. You're going to call me and say I didn't do something. Remember, we manage systems and develop people. And so a checklist is a way to manage a system, not a person. So I don't want to send anyone any signals here that once you build a checklist, your people are going to do everything they're supposed to do, exactly how they're supposed to do it when they do it. You still have to manage the checklist. You still have to make sure that they're doing it. You have to check in with them. But this is a tool so your team doesn't forget some stuff, doesn't forget to put sliced cheddar cheese on their station, doesn't forget to empty that trash can that's off in the corner of the lobby that no one ever sees. And then in the middle of check-in, trash is falling out of it. Doesn't forget to change the radio station, whatever, all those weird things that your team just isn't going to remember to do because they're human. So remember, this is a tool to help them, to help you, not a tool to get people in trouble. And when we present it to them that way, they're going to be more open to it and they're going to be less skeptical of it. So sorry, Rich, I just wanted to jump in there.
No, what you're saying is exactly true. But the key is for what I found that made the success for us is getting the team on board with it and getting them to own it rather than it being a document that was issued to them. It was their document to use as their support. So I think when people have ownership of a document, they know that it's not been designed to catch them out. They have faith in the document because it's their document and it's their checklist. It's not my checklist. It's their checklist to make sure they've done their job right so that they know that they have that peace of mind. And it really has worked that way. So it's been great.
Awesome. So we talked about this. I don't want to seed you here, but I know we talk about this a lot where your team almost gets, I don't want to say angry, but they ask you for their checklist every week.
Yeah, so that's the first thing they'll say on a Monday. You know, so Sunday night we have on the obviously on the Sunday night management checklist is print the checklist off for the next week. So it's because again, like you said, we had the issue where people were saying, "Where's my checklist? I don't have my checklist." And we're like, "These are not getting done. We need to remember to do them. We need to remember them. How will we remember? How could we possibly remember to make sure this doesn't happen again? We could put it on the checklist. That's what we'll do." So we on the checklist on a Sunday night, we said print off the next week's checklist. And that caught that up. But yeah, exactly. And we do, and you're right, Ryan, there's so many things that people have responsibility for, you know, whether it's tending to the front door, make sure there's not leaves, make sure it's presentable. We have to have these on the checklist. But things that people are doing every day, they will do. The dream is that they do it autonomously, that they'll just, they know that it becomes a rhythm and they can bang it. Do it out. But the things that are less frequent, like you're saying, the things maybe at the front door, you may need, and which we have, and certain elements, is to make sure, like a checklist to make sure that the momentum's been kept up on the weekly and the monthly tasks, because they're not done day to day. And we're all human, and things happen, and you can have a busy shift, and you can have, you know, challenges on that shift that you didn't expect. So to have the management working as a team saying, remember today's, what's your jobs for today, and ask them about it. So they're not checking up that they've done it, but they're making sure that they're work through the bits that aren't as, they're not the day-to-day tasks. So yeah, that works well.
And so how has this kind of changed the way, because you operate a full property, you don't just have a restaurant or just an inn, you've got restaurant, you've got banquets, you've got catering, you've got, I think, multiple dining rooms, you've got your tea room, your bar. Yeah. So how has this sort of system organization, how has this helped you and your team?
It's what it has done, the main thing, and the reason that when we had that call a couple of years ago, and when I said like, how can I run the business and grow the business, and the checklists have given me the ability to put energy and work on the business rather than in the business. So you're not every day, oh, is a change out, does something need change, is the phone being answered, are the bookings in, has somebody checked the bookings. These things are all part of the checklist. So the things that were taking up, what I found a lot part of my day or my manager's day, are now being passed on directly to, and it's given also them the responsibility to be in charge of their shift. So it's freed up time for me and the managers and the team to grow the business and to put energy into developing new aspects. So like you said, we did have a formal dining room and a family dining room. We've now changed the formal dining room into a cocktail lounge, which we do afternoon teas and cream teas, and you know, that's been a massive success. And all those developments are because we can step back, analyze how things are working, because the business is, all the tasks are being carried out, we can see how things are working and see where we can make improvements. And the tea room we have directly across the road, which is called the Dolly's Tea Room in Roslyn, because Roslyn isn't just the home of the Holy Grail and the Da Vinci Code, it's also the home of cloning. So Dolly the Sheep was cloned in Roslyn, and we have a tea room called Dolly's Tea Room, in homage to the famous sheep. So yes, that's across the road. So they're two businesses and they're separate. So for to be have different properties running, although in close proximity, different properties running in different areas of those properties working and harmoniously, is to have them accountable to their own shift, not in somebody to, you know, we can't have staff, you know, managers on managers. It's so that people have that. And I think people, my experience is people feel really a sense of fulfillment from being in charge of their own shift, that responsibility. And that fulfillment generates longevity and service. And it's just about the recruitment and continuity with the customer seeing the same faces. Because I think when you may have a lovely business, but if you go in and the faces continually changing, you don't build that bond. Whereas we encourage, you know, we're a community business and we try and be involved with the community. And the familiarity is one of those things, knowing what somebody has in their coffee or their drink or their pint or their beer. And that's because you have great staff, and I'm blessed with have a great team. And I think that's all about creating the right environment, which attracts the right people.
And you said something, and I gotta agree with everything you just said there, especially that last part of you. We kind of brushed over that, but that's maybe the most important thing here. Of right now, while everyone's struggling, or most people are struggling with team members and staffing levels right now, is, you know, how do we get a fully staffed restaurant? How do we get the team that we want? Well, it starts with the culture, with the expectations, with the way that we treat people, with the team that we build. And that team will attract others and they'll stay longer. And it's not about how do I run an ad or where should I be running an ad? It's really about cultivating it from the inside, right? Like when we heal our bodies, we don't heal them from the outside. We heal them from the inside. And if the body's healthy, the bacteria never comes in. If your restaurant or your business is healthy from the inside, those people are going to want to be a part of it. But you said something earlier that I thought was really key. You talked about responsibility. People want to be responsible for their shift. They want to be responsible for something. It's one of the number one reasons why people end up leaving a job, is they don't ever feel like they were responsible for something. And I always look back when I'm putting together training programs and kind of thinking about management strategies and stuff. I always think back to like little things that worked well throughout my career and little things that maybe didn't and what I can learn from them. But I'll never forget a moment when I was a young sous chef at a hotel in Beverly Hills, at a 5-star hotel, a really nice place. But I was made responsible for the equipment cabinet. And we had like our more expensive specialty equipment, our special mixers and blenders and things that had small parts that we didn't just throw on the shelf with our pots and pans. And they were put into a cabinet that had a lock on them, and they were opened in the morning and locked at night. And we had rules. If you were to pull something out of there, you had to wash it by hand and replace it. You didn't just throw it in the dish pit because things would break. And it was always a disaster. I mean, just because people were in a hurry, they would rinse it off. They would throw it in there, and it was just nasty. And I was so frustrated one day. I told the chef, I said, just put me responsible for the equipment shelf. And he said, go for it. You're in charge of it. And that night, I remember cleaning it myself, organizing it. I put a sign-in sheet. I put all this stuff in there. And because it was mine now, because I was responsible for it, I held other people to a higher standard. I held it to a higher standard. I took care of the equipment better. I made sure that other people were taking care of it better because it was now mine. It wasn't just everybody's. And there's this great story of everybody, somebody, nobody. Look it up or I'll post it later here. It's a great short story, but basically it goes back to like in high school. If you had a group project and you, all five of you were assigned the project and all five of you are going to get the same grade, one of you who cares the most is going to do all the work and the other four are just going to be along for the ride. So when we are assigning projects, shifts to people, what the checklist helped do is it assigns that person to that responsibility. They can't say, I didn't know it was my responsibility. I thought someone else was going to do it. So anyways, I heard that word responsibility. And I think it's so crucially important. But anyways, there's something else that you always say whenever we talk about it, and I wanted you to bring that up. It's Whiffle.
Yeah. So when we have the meetings at the sort of weekly meetings with the management and then monthly with the larger group, we always say, you know, I think because it was something I picked up about when you speak, you influence what they're going to say or the team's going to say. So we have this Whiffle, which is what I feel like expressing. So if I go last and all the team members go first. So they say, what's been the biggest thing on your, you know, this week? What could we improve? What made you feel happy? What made you feel sad? What could we do better? What you know, celebrate a loss. That's one of the things, you know, so like, where was an opportunity? Can you give me an opportunity where we can be better? So celebrate something we're not good at, you know, and that Whiffle, and it's giving them the floor before it's dictated to by whoever's holding the meeting and influencing what they're to say. So giving them that, what I feel like expressing is just authentically them. And it's their opportunity to create the work environment that they want. And so if they have any things that they think we can improve on, it's their opportunity, their platform to say, I feel like break times aren't long enough. I feel like we work too much, or whatever their expression is. And if it's something we can do to make the work environment and the culture better, it's we take it on board and we try to make it a culture that is positive and that people, like I said, feel fulfilled at the workplace. And it's, you know, it's a transient industry. We accept that to a certain extent, but I think gone are the days that, you know, hospitality should be respected. We should be proud of hospitality. And our outlet in particular, going talking about COVID, there was a lot of the sort of remote dialing. I know you do a lot with the thing it's called DoorDash, that kind of thing. And we did do a lot of collections and stuff. That's sort of fallen off the wayside a wee bit for us, but we never really used any technology on service. We believe hospitality should be an experience where you're catered for and looked after and just being an authentically, like authentic hospitality professionals. And all part of that is we'll talk about remember your pen. Remember, you know, that's the first thing. If you don't have a pen on you, you're not prepared for work. And, you know, how you build up that momentum for a day and just listen to the people and make the decision, you know, is in the best interest of the staff. And I always say to my some customers, when you know, when you walk on the floor and you talk to them and you'll say, oh, well, you know who the most important people in the business are? And they'll say, I'll say my staff. And they'll say, oh, I am, Richard. And I was like, well, no, because they conduct your experience. I don't conduct your experience. If I said you were the most important, I didn't look after them, what kind of experience you're going to have? So it's trying to put them at the forefront. And especially, like you said, over the past 2 years, we've quite very proud of the two businesses. You know, we're not paid anyone off. We've not, you know, we've retained everyone. We have shrunk in size. So when people have naturally left, we've just not replaced them and we've shrunk down because we've had to, but it's about putting them first and giving the respect of hospitality professionals deserve. And it should be a career option and it should be something that we should all be excited about because there's not a ideal customer that doesn't use, there's not any customer that exists that doesn't use some form of hospitality. So I believe that, you know, positive.
So Wiffle, I need to write that in here. Wiffle, what Wiffle. I like,
feel like
what I feel like expressing.
Yes.
What I feel like expressing. We talk about it all the time, and I always have a hard time memorizing it. But what I feel like expressing, it reminds me of Toyota. One of the things people know that Toyota has incredible cars, known for, you know, lasting a long time, great repair records. I'm drawing a blank on what the word I'm looking for. Very reliable. That's what I'm looking for. I actually drive a 1999 4Runner. It is 2022, so my car is almost 23 years old. And it is just a beast. I mean, nothing goes wrong with this car. I have no desire to replace it. My son will get this car if he's lucky. If not, I'm going to keep it myself. But the point is, Toyota has a rule that other manufacturing plants don't, or maybe do now. But at a Toyota manufacturing facility, anyone on the assembly line can stop the assembly line if something is out of place, if something isn't right. At Ford, at GM, at other assembly lines, they never gave that power to an assembly line worker. An assembly line worker was just there to fill the job, to put the door on the car, to put the bolt in the hole, to screw down the bolt. That's it. They never thought of them as more important than that. Whereas Toyota came every morning, Toyota starts. And I know we laugh at it, but like in Japanese manufacturing in the movies in like the 80s, where, you know, everyone would be in the parking lot doing their stretching before they start their shift. But that's real. That comes from somewhere. That's how Toyota starts their day. And that's how they finish their day. And they start with, we all come to work as a team. They have a quick meeting and they ask one question that's similar to, what can we do better today than yesterday? One thing every day. It's called Keynesian manufacturing. It's this idea of constant and never-ending improvement. What can we do better today than yesterday? What's one tiny little area? 365 days a year for 50 years or for 20 years or for 5 years or for 1 year, that's 365 things that you get better at every day. And then also giving them the ability to just at any moment in time say, that door didn't fit on the car properly. I'm stopping the assembly line. And no one gets in trouble for that. And so what Rich has done here is something very similar of every week, tell me, what do you feel like? What do you feel like sharing with the team? Is it something good? Is it something bad that we need to work on? Is it something that we need to improve on? But anyways, I wanted to go. I know that's a little bit off checklist, but.
No, but what you're saying, Ryan, is right. It's because it gives the team member and hospitality, whatever, but it gives them pride in what they do because they take the ownership of it. And I think that's exactly what you're saying. It's pride in that. You know?
Yeah, it's that ownership. And it's that that their voice matters. I mean, these are all things that we talk about. These are all things that we say. You're never going to sit down with a restaurant owner that doesn't say like how important their team is, but talk and actions are very different. So we covered a lot here. Really what I want to express to people is just don't
persevere.
What's that?
Persevere. Like if they don't start straight away, it's one of the things you said, what is it that, shit runs downhill, and you know what's the saying you say?
Something along. I mean, shit always falls downhill. There's no question about that.
And but you've got to push through it. And then once they see that it's not a trap or a way to gauge them or monitor them, and they see that it's a tool for them, and you get them to buy in. You know, the team buys into that. Then it makes everyone's life easier, not just yours.
Yep. And I wanted to say, don't fall into what I call the yeah, but trap. Rich talked about this a little bit where at first when we started talking about systems, and I can sense that hesitation when I talk to people of it's the yeah, but trap. Yeah, but we've tried that. Yeah, but that won't work for us. Yeah, but we're in Scotland and you're in the United States. Yeah, but we run a small inn. This probably works at a Hilton or a Marriott, but we're just a small local property. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Every time you find yourself saying, yeah, but please do me a favor, stop and ask yourself, what is the limiting belief that is forcing you to say that? Yeah, but is a defense mechanism. It's a justification to make us feel better about what we've been doing or the problems that we have. We all want to be unique. We all want our problems to be unique. Yeah, but you don't understand. Yeah, but that won't work here. I hear it all the time. And so Rich even brought it up. Like I said, if you're listening to this checklist or if you're interested in checklists and you're saying, yeah, but we've tried it. Yeah, but that doesn't work. Yeah, but you're in wherever. All the things we've said, ask yourself, what's the limiting belief that's causing that? Is it possible that you've tried checklists and they didn't work, but you didn't build them properly? Is it possible that you tried checklists and they didn't work, but you didn't manage them properly? Is it possible that you tried checklists and they didn't work, but you didn't teach your team how to use them properly? Is it possible that you tried checklists and they didn't work because you didn't replace them every week? Like Rich said, these are not his checklists. These are your checklists. This is a tool that your team is going to use to help them do their job better. We're just the custodians of it. We're just building it for them, but this is their checklist. And if you don't treat it that way, it's not going to work. And so if at any moment in time through this interview, you had that yeah, but feeling, reach out, ask a question, reach out to Rich, reach out to me, support@therestaurantboss.com. You can probably, I don't know if Rich would welcome anyone reaching out to him or not, but
yeah. I mean, I ask more questions than I'll be asked, I'm sure.
But then also, I just wanted to quickly end here with, we have a membership at The Restaurant Boss. If this is something that we didn't really talk about, how to build checklists or properly format or how to roll them out to your team or when to put checkboxes or circles or dashes or all the little nuances that help with this. But we have, yeah.
I'm going to just... Because you're going to do your close, I want to just quickly before you go say, I want to say thank you to you and what I'm not said, which is amiss of me to say, is the checklist we use are your bacon checklist. And I'll be honest, and the yeah but thing will have been the spreadsheets how do you do them? The bacon is phenomenal at what it does. The checklists are simple to build, they're simple to amend, The software is what makes it easier for the leadership. It's not onerous for the leadership to do it, or the staff to teach the staff to train it. So thank you for that software. That is the key to it, because like you said, it's about it. And I think when you said you hit the yeah but things, which we still get at times, because you're always going to grow, is you've got to look back to something and say, well, but remember we didn't always have the staff would all have a pen. Now they've all got a pen because we drum it. So it's about moving forward and what small wins. Looking back sometimes helps.
I'm going to find this quote. This is going to be in our presentation tomorrow. Oh no, did I delete it by accident? I'm doing the state of the restaurant industry tomorrow. And oh my God, I think I deleted it. Anyways, it's a quote from a guy named Ryan Dice, who's a marketing guy. I got to find it back in the presentation or I'm looking too fast. And he basically says something along the lines of, restaurants or businesses that are struggling are not struggling because a lack of new ideas. They're struggling because the things that they do don't work. They're struggling because they're still doing the things that did work. They're still doing the things that did work. I want to find the quote. I'll find it later and put it in here. But a lot of times what worked for you in the past isn't going to keep working for you. And so maybe what you've done up to this point has worked, but like Rich said, he's a third, I think he said third generation or fourth generation operator.
Third generation, yeah.
Right. So what's worked has gotten him to here, but in order to grow, what worked in the past isn't going to keep working. So sometimes we have to try things that are a little bit different here.
It's about getting the help, Brian, because you're only you. You need that outside influence. And for you, for me, it's been you. You've helped me. But it's getting somebody that's got that sort of mindset of the growth and how you can do it and getting support. So thank you for all the help that you've given me.
Well, awesome. You're welcome. And now I'm freaked out because I love that quote and it's not in the presentation. I literally, right before this, I was going through and finalizing tomorrow's presentation. I must have deleted it. I'm going to have to find it. But anyways, thank you, Rich, for your time. Thanks for talking about bacon. And like I said, if you need some extra help building checklists, creating systems, growing your restaurant, understanding your financials, we have a lot of courses over at The Restaurant Boss, but we also have our new membership, which we started about 3-4 months ago, and it's still evolving. It's actually going to change a little bit. I'm going to make some announcements tomorrow, but basically join our membership, jump into our private Facebook group. We're going to start doing calls every month for members, new trainings. You get access to all of our courses, but you can learn more at therestaurantboss.com/memberships or just go to therestaurantboss.com. Click on the little hamburger menu or drop-down menu and you can learn about the membership. But anyways, we're here to help with anything you need. If you're a restaurant owner, operator, manager, and you're tired, you're frustrated, you're stuck, you know that you need some systems, you know that you need to be able to work right on the business instead of in the business, but you're a little stuck, please reach out. We'd love to help. Anything in closing here, Rich?
No, like you said, I mean, scale is mind-blowing. It's so simple, but very effective. Scale Bacon, it's been a great help. I've never regretted taking the steps, and the club's been brilliant as well, meeting people from across the... It's quite good having the empathy across the Atlantic of people who face the same challenges, and it's fine because it's part of the journey.
Awesome. Well, we love having you there. We love hearing from you on a regular basis, and thank you again so much for the time, and congratulations on the success and the improvements that I know you've made in your operations. And I can just, every time we talk, I can tell that you're a different person you were a couple of years ago, a little less stress, a little more, like we say, working on the business instead of in it. So it's been an absolute honor and a privilege. And please feel free to reach out to any of us, support@therestaurantboss.com. Visit therestaurantboss.com. If you're in the Scotland area and you want to check out some awesome architecture and great fish and chips and the whole cream tea, I don't even know what cream tea is. I assume it's tea with cream. but check out the original Roslyn Inn. Shoot me a message. Let me know if you're heading out there. I'll introduce you to Rich so you know someone when you're in town, and you'll be treated like family. I know you will. Have an absolutely amazing day, everyone. And remember, systems create freedom. Freedom creates value, and value creates scale. Bye-bye.
Thank you.